Hey folks, I'm here to tell you about Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio, on-demand news, talk, and more for your mobile phone. Stitcher brings radio and podcast listeners a better way to listen to their favorite shows and helps them discover new content by delivering personalized audio streams on demand right to your smartphone. How did I get here? Along with over 5,000 other shows is on Stitcher. You can listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, or on any of your pads. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Now let's get down. And you may ask yourself,
how did I get here? And now here is your host, Tommy Howdy.
Hey-o! Ho-ho! Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. Got a great show for you guys today. I have a fantastic conversation with singer and songwriter, Penny Jo Pulis. Yeah, we talk about everything from her latest record, Through the Looking Glass, produced by Ron Flint, to her humble beginnings in Syracuse, New York. And also, I want to remind you that if you are in Austin, she will be playing tonight, solo acoustic, Friday, October 17th at Freddy's at 7:30. She'll be doing a solo acoustic show, and then she'll be singing at Evangeline's at 10 p.m. with the Greasy Wheels. So, sit back. My friend Penny Jo and I have a great conversation. She's a great singer. She just put out this record, Through the Glass, a little while back with that was produced by Ron Flint, who's a great musician. I need to get him on the show. I'm going to reach out to him after I do this. That's what I'm going to do. So I've known Penny for quite a while. She's married to one of my very best friends, oldest friends, Jason Swedberg. A guy I've known since I was like 10. We played soccer together. We were in school together. Great guy, he and his brother. So a few weeks ago, or maybe now a little over a month ago, I went and sang with John Bush on a Sunday at the One-to-One Bar. And Penny Jo was playing in the band, and she plays in the band. And she got up and sang with me on some songs. We hadn't rehearsed anything. She just did it there on the spot on stage. She had learned it. And it was fantastic. When we were singing together, I was like, man, I got to get Penny in here. I got to find out more about her. Her life and how she got here. And so that's what I did. I invited her over. She came over. We sat down, had a great conversation. Jason was hanging out over in the background. He ended up taking one of my guitars because he works on guitars. He fixes them, and he's going to be fixing my Telecaster along with the other ones, but he took the Telecaster that night. So sit back. It's going to be a great conversation. Before we get to that, let me tell you what's going on with me. I had a birthday on Tuesday, had a great time, spent the day with Zuri. We just ran around, did a bunch of shit, went to the mall, and ran around outside. It was a nice day, and had a nice dinner out by the lake. It was really nice. Good times. Very good times. So this weekend, I'm going out and playing with Skyrocket. Saturday, we'll be in Fredericksburg at that place, the Crossroads, and I know it's like Oktoberfest out there, so it gets kind of crazy. So if you're out there in Fredericksburg on Saturday night, October 18th, enjoy yourself. That'll be tomorrow. And then Sunday, we're playing this wedding. I got to get back because my dear old friend Mark Hallman, who owns the Congress House Recording Studio, is having his 33rd and a third anniversary at that location. So I'm going to haul ass back from that wedding, which is supposed to be pretty star-studded, which I'll tell you all about it on Tuesday on the show, tell you what's going on, tell you about the party, and then Monday I have a session with Kimmy Rhodes. So I got a lot going on. I'm actually shooting today, Friday. I'm shooting a scene for a documentary about the Congress House that's being made. So that should be fun. I used to live there. So I lived in this recording studio when I first moved here for like a couple years, 2 years, a little over 2 years maybe. And so this lady's making a documentary about it because tons of people have recorded there, Arnie DeFranco, Oasis, and tons of people here, Sarah Hickman, tons of people that have been on the show, Jamila Fave, Michael Fracasso, of course, Mr. Rocket Baby, my old band. Anyway, I'm doing that, and I'm working on some songs with Kimmy Rhodes in the afternoon because we have a session for her record on Monday. So yeah, I'm hitting the ground running this weekend, and I'm going, and you will find out all about it on Tuesday's show. Crazy times, right? Crazy times. Penny Jo Pulis has a busy night tonight. She'll be at Freddy's, 7:30 solo, and then, of course, she sings with the Greasy Wheels, and they will be at Evangeline's at 10 p.m., So that's what's going on with me. And that's what's going on with Penny Jo. Okay, so let's sit down. Let's talk to Penny Jo and get to the bottom of her. Find out what's going on. Penny Jo, tell us about yourself. Let's get down. Terrible at starting.
Okay, all right. I got you.
First, I just talk about adult. I talk about adult babies, and then all of a sudden, I'm like, "So, your new album?"
I'm like, "What?"
I can leave the first part out. We could just start with. So, no, seriously, Through the Glass. It came out.
I think it came out 2 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it was produced by the great Ron Flint.
Yes, the last three records that I've done have been produced by Ron Flint.
That's amazing. What do you get out of repeat? Do you go deeper into something? Does the relationship? I've never done like three records with one person, but I had a fantasy of it.
I have worked with Ron because he's such a pro, for one thing. He's so generous and so honest, and he really helps me be a better singer. And he has tweaked some of my songs to places that I didn't really think that they would ever have gone.
Because he's a songwriter himself.
Yeah, he's a great songwriter.
Yeah.
So, and he's very gentle, and you know, sometimes when you work with people and they won't give you enough rope to, you know, to try to figure it out by yourself. And if you're not getting there, they're kind of harsh on your mellow.
Yeah.
But Ron's not like that. He's always helped me find a place that I'm really happy with and if I'm stuck.
Right.
So.
That's good. And he also, you feel like the relationship, does he help you with the songs? Yes.
We've never actually sat down and wrote a song together, but he has taken my songs and brought them other places.
Yeah.
Or added things or said, oh, girl, you can't say that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Do you edit yourself pretty hard when you're writing?
Yes, I guess so. I'm afraid, you know, it's so hard to come up with something new. And something that's different that hasn't been said before.
It's hard.
It's really, really hard. And so a lot of times I won't finish something because I think it's stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, I haven't, this last record I did, Through the Glass, has a bunch of covers on it because they are, they're songs that we do live. And Ron, fortunately, is also in my band, so it's even more comfortable. Like my most comfortable pair of shoes. But we do those songs, and we thought, oh, well, it seems like it's the trend that everyone is doing cover songs now. So, you know, we do these. We recorded a lot of that stuff. We started off live, and then it just ended up as a record. And I added a few new songs in there.
Is that a lot of the band that plays with you live that plays on that? Is it like John Bush?
It's John Bush, Ron, I think Scrappy's on there. There's people that aren't in my band, but that I have played with before. Like Mac is on there.
It'd be awesome if he was in your band.
Oh my God,
it would be. Great Ian McLaughlin.
Mm.
Hey, how is he to work with? Easy?
Mac, he's great. He's so funny. I could just sit there and listen to him talk forever.
Me too. Me too. When I did this with him, he actually had me turn off the machine because he was going into a story that couldn't come out.
Oh, really?
So he's like, yeah, turn this off. I'm going to finish the story. And he did. It was great. What album is this for you? It's your third one with Ron, but as far as like the Penny Joe Pullis.
Well, four CDs.
Yeah.
And I used to make cassette tapes and LPs.
Yeah, man.
And I do have 45s.
No shit?
I started off, I think I was 19, I made a 45, which was a band called The Natives in New York. And
in Syracuse.
In Syracuse. And I still get little Japanese people that want to buy those singles.
What kind of music was it?
That's punk music.
It was?
Mm-hmm.
How hard was, could you do it yourself?
No, I worked with Mark Doyle in Syracuse at Rosewood Studios, I think it was.
No, but I mean like the pressing, like you put it out?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How hard was that then? I mean, because now, you know, you could come over here and record a song and we could just put it up on mic and be like, you can even master it online. There's this weird like Lander programs and stuff.
It was certainly territory that I didn't know about, but we were a working band and we had, you know, we put everything out ourselves. I've put all my product out myself. I've not had any backing from any record company or anything like that.
Well, the cool thing is now that is the thing, at least you know how to do it.
Yes.
You got a leg up on a lot of people because everybody has to do it themselves.
Yes.
I mean, with the exception of Kesha.
Most people are not quite as technically challenged as I am. So, I've tried.
Do you find that putting it out now that technology has moved on? Like, are you like, man, shit, so much more awesome than when you had to do mailing lists? Like, really mail things to people?
I like
that.
That
was really expensive. And
I like that, although it was fun. I mean, you know, I played with a lot of the same people when I lived in Syracuse forever. It was like our club, you know. We practiced every, you know, a couple times a week and hung out and drank beer and wrote songs and, you know, laughed. They were my friends. Whereas, you know, here, it was very difficult for me to figure out how to do the A team, the B team, and the C team, and to have all these people that.
But don't you think that's like an? I mean, it definitely is here. There's a lot of people playing, but it's an age thing, though. It's like when you're young, people can be like, "Oh yeah, dude, I'll just work at the coffee shop and be like the guy in that band."
Yeah, but I've never really found the group of people to be inspired and work with. I used to be very prolific with those people, and I'm not so much anymore.
Because you had a little, like almost like a little factory. Everyone was like putting their thing in, and then you could just like, okay, let's take this idea.
They could read your mind practically. Yeah. Also, I found, you know, as I've gotten older, you know, because I'm sure.
No.
But, I don't write as much. I found that now that I'm not a miserable disaster, that
Jason's not doing a very good job.
No,
no, I'm joking.
No, I mean, you know what I mean. I'm happy. You know,
right.
I'm happy. I love my life. I get to do some really cool stuff. Whereas, you know, I used to. When I wrote songs, they, you know, I don't know if I've ever written a happy song.
Isn't that weird? Don't you sometimes like, when you hear a happy song at first, even if you end up liking it, when you first hear it and your first, like my first reaction is always like, what the fuck is wrong with that person?
Were they so fucking happy?
Yeah, what
for?
Is your problem? What is there to be happy about in this level where you have to go around singing songs about it, you idiot?
I kind of used to feel that way, but not so much anymore.
No,
you
me
know.
Neither. But yeah. I do. I know that feeling. Yeah. Okay, so let's go back to Syracuse. That's where you were born?
That's where I was born. I spent a lot of time in Syracuse, between Syracuse and Watertown, which is about 100 miles north, closer to Canada. My family was from there, and we had two homes.
Oh.
So.
Were you guys fancy?
No, we weren't fancy. Oh. My father's father that emigrated through Toronto and Canada into New York ended up there, and he had this piece of property that's still in my family on Lake Ontario.
Oh, wow.
So my parents were teachers, so the day school let out, we got in the car, and we ran around like wild Indians all summer.
Oh, that must have been
and
real
then
cool.
The day that school was supposed to start to go back, we would go back.
What did they teach?
My mom taught first grade.
Yeah.
And she played the piano.
Okay.
And my dad, after he didn't work for the railroad anymore, taught math. Ugh. My worst subject ever.
Mine too. I hate it.
Yeah. I actually had my mom for first grade.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I'm scarred for life.
What? How did she handle it? Did she do the over?
I was used as an example a lot that I had to behave, but I have the worst handwriting in the world. You know, I used to get in trouble for talking and everything because I'm pretty sure that if they would have had that idea of what it is that they have it now, that I would have been ADD or something like that.
All of us would be that.
Yeah. So
that thing where you just like, I don't know what his problem is. He just can't shut up or focus.
But I got my love of music from my mother. My mother was played the piano. We had handbells that we played Christmas songs and stuff every year. I actually, when my mom passed away, that was the only thing that was the top of my list of what I wanted were the handbells with the giant writing of all the chords and everything.
Wow.
Because we would do that as a family. And of course, as we got older and there was drinking involved, it was fun. But I've always wanted to like figure out, and I probably will do this, Indigata Davida on the bells or, you know, Stairway to Heaven on the bells or something fun like that.
Who, did you have older siblings, younger siblings?
I am the youngest of four.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I had an older brother. Who's he's 13 years older than me. So wow. I loved, you know, all of his music. You know, I remember listening to High Heel Sneakers, The Animals, Eric Burdon, just the Supreme, just everything. It was, and I used to get in so much trouble for playing with his 45s, and they were colorful and fun. And you know, the center that goes on the LP spindle thing holds the 45, the big one, because they would go down themselves, makes a perfect microphone when you're a kid playing.
I remember those.
Yeah, and we used to, I've always been surrounded by music. My mother did musical comedy when she got older.
What does that mean?
Musical comedy?
Yeah. What is that?
She would sing songs and like do dances, and she was very entertaining. She was a very funny lady.
Like publicly she did music or just like around the house?
No, she she belonged to grooms and would she belonged to different performing groups, especially as she got older. And,
like community groups.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then I used to go to my mother's dance recitals. So people were usually there seeing their kids, and I was there seeing my mom. It was really funny, seeing my mom tap dance and stuff. She was very, very funny.
So with all that surrounded by music, were you like a ham? Did you entertain all the older brothers and sisters and stuff?
I sang all the time, and it used to really drive everybody crazy. But my mother was, we were always singing songs. Like when we were going someplace, you know, we would sing songs. And I started, my first public performance I was in Mrs. Craner's class. So I think that's third grade. I was Gretel in Hansel and Gretel. And I got to hold my boyfriend, Dean Hubble's hand. It was very risque.
Oh, yeah? what happened?
Nothing, just, you know, the whole being that young. His sweaty, clammy palm of, you know. Yeah. I still remember the song.
Hey, here's a good question, because you grew up rocking, right? So did you have a band or anything? When did you first have a band?
I was a junior in high school.
Okay.
And I was in a band called Penny Arcade.
That's awesome.
It never really got out of the garage, but, you know... that's when, you know, I had the Rod Stewart haircut and all of that. And
so
we did some original material, but we did like Montrose covers and
that's kinda hit.
I do a Bad Motor Scooter.
Yeah.
Bad Motor Scooter song. Yeah.
Do you like Sammy?
Not so much. Not I liked him in the other group. I can't remember what it is right now off the top of my head. Rock Candy Baby was Montrose. Yeah,
Montrose. Yeah.
I didn't really like him after that.
You were going to say Van Halen.
No.
Okay, so the question I was going to get to is, when dudes get into bands at that age, it's because of the chicks.
I was I was one of very few girls that were in bands back then.
Right.
Yeah.
But even then, and what ends up happening to girls that get in bands is they don't get.
Well, they automatically think you're a slut.
Or guys are just scared of you.
Exactly. Yes. And I would say that was true.
You know, there's something lonely about being the girl in the band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when we would walk into clubs and I'd say, so what's the deal with, you know, the this or that? And they'd be like, oh, girlfriends don't get that. I'm like, no, I'm the band.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot.
Yeah,
That's sucky.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, like, in the beginning, you a lot of people say their kids look at them at school differently, but then all of a sudden they get in a band, and all of a sudden, like, the girl that, you know, never would, you know, look at you twice is all of a sudden like, oh, hi, you know.
Yeah.
How are you when she sees you sing? But what does a girl get into it for?
I just love to sing. I've always loved to sing. And
For the pure artistic reason?
Yeah. And I...
No, there has to be something sexual behind it.
I made up little songs. There was, you know, I don't know. I loved rock music. I just always wanted to do it. I didn't want to go out in high school. I wanted to stay home and watch Don Kirshner's rock concert and Midnight Special.
And did you look at albums and, like, unlike other girls that you hung out with, like with dudes, you sat there and read who was the guy? Like, I'm in a band with Trish, you know, she grew up, she knows who the drummer was on that Paul Simon song or something, you know what I mean?
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I have a lot of information that is probably pretty useless to most people in my brain.
Well, no, I mean, on this show, it's like, boy. That's a qualification.
Yeah.
It's like a PhD.
So the first band that I was in, Penny Arcade, I was still in high school. And the guy that was the guitar player, singer guy besides me, worked at the local record store, music store.
Oh, that's cool.
And I knew him from the mall. And also my sisters had friends that worked there as well. The Flash Cubes. Tommy Allen from the Flash Cubes. I don't know if you know them.
No, they were
a punk band in the back then too.
What era of punk was that? Was that like an 80s kind of like
70s?
70s, yeah. Like original punk.
Mm-hmm.
Like not messing around.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
That's intense.
You know, later that gentleman that worked there, that was that guy, I won't say his name, ended up in jail for murdering his girlfriend.
Jesus.
In the backseat of a car while they had sex.
While?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's a whole other podcast in itself.
Yeah, it was pretty scary. That could have been me.
God.
Dodged a bullet.
Oh, so you were the girlfriend too?
Of course I was. But that was years later. That was years later when we kind of nutty. But, you know, talented. And he broke my clarinet and I was really mad.
Oh. So, on purpose?
Yes. Smashed it.
That's a jerk.
It was
thing
my
to do.
First my first ever brush with manic depressive.
Oh, yeah. Artistic.
Yes. Yeah, very crazy.
I think that also, don't you think that fades? Because I think I used to be kind of like that. Not totally like that.
I don't know. I used to get letters from jail. I never knew how they got to me. I'd show up at a gig somewhere and he would like...
Yeah.
No.
He would know you were there.
He would know I was going to be... There would be a letter for me at a bar from jail. Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, so... It was pretty scary. But then once I got out of high school, I joined this other group called The Natives.
Right.
And
that was a punk band. That's who made the...
Yeah. And then I had one gig. We played at PLAV, which was the Polish American Legion's Veterans something. And they hated us. And they threw things. They threw popcorn and stuff. And... I think I still have a picture of it. I have my leather jacket on and my bad haircut that was now called a mullet. And I think I said, "Eat shit and die, you motherfuckers!" and threw the microphone down and walked off stage. And
But like
cried.
In that era of punk, that was kind of like what you'd say when you went on stage.
But people didn't know that at Plav, you know, I mean, in a club or something like that.
Was it like an older, was it
It was like drum corps or something. It was horrifying. It was, yeah. But so I went backstage and I cried.
Did you guys, how did you get your, did you have a good outlet to get the records, to get that music? Because I know that it was hard to get things. I don't want to say Syracuse is in the sticks, but I know probably all the records that you could find, you know, from England or underground records you could find in New York. Could you find them in Syracuse?
The record store Gerber Music was just like my playing ground. Right. I would just go through and look at all those records, and most of the guys that worked there were musicians, and so they would have like all this really cool stuff.
Who did you see yourself as kind of then, like, as like if you had to kind of like,
I wanted to be Joan Jett bad.
Okay. Yeah. So you're Runaways.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, I used to cover Runaway songs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then Deborah Harry as I got older, you know, and Tina Turner, but you know, I'm a little white for that.
Well, it's interesting because, well, okay, wait, let's stay on there, because I was going to say you went more of a country route to be of a Tina Turner.
Well, I mean, I'm all over the board. I mean, that's part of the problem with me.
I never think of that as a, people have said that kind of thing about me too. And I'm always like, well, is that a problem? It sounds like a great thing.
Well, I don't think it's a problem.
Yeah, I don't think
either. Ask me to sing the national anthem. I can do it. Ask me to sing some song in Polish. I probably could. I mean, I can sing anything. I used to do theater. I just love to sing. And that's really my strong point. And I didn't really start playing guitar until I moved to Austin, and that's been 18 years. And I came here. I didn't know how to play an instrument, and I had some pretty tough times of thinking that I was ready, and I would go and I'd play, and I'd shit the bed, and I'd go hide in the bathroom and wouldn't want to come out, you know, with the hole in the wall or something like that, you know. I had some really, Ricky Broussard helped me a lot, trying to help me learn how to play guitar better. And it's just been something that doesn't come easy for me at all. And, but, you know, I like to sing. I'm a singer before I'm anything else.
Well, you do a lot of backup singing too.
I do.
Like doing that?
I love it. I loved the girl groups, the Ronettes and stuff like that. I love all that stuff. I love it.
When you were a kid, could you pick out harmonies? I wasn't like a...
Mm-hmm. I sang in chorus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I could pick out a dude. You know what I mean? Like when I was a kid, I was really familiar with the Beatles, and I could really tell the difference between like John and Paul, but I could also hear them when they were singing, and like, oh, he's singing high on this thing, and just kind of copy the note and kind of be that guy for a song. Does that make sense? That's
yes.
kind of how I think I learned.
But my mother had my sisters and I singing harmony a lot.
Oh, see, yeah, nobody told me anything.
Yeah, so, well, you wouldn't
The
know.
Beatles did.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
but my mom would have us, because my mom played the piano, and we had a big organ at our house, and of course she wanted us to play, and I just wasn't interested at all, but I wanted to sing. And she would have herself and my two sisters and I, we would all sing Christmas carols and different songs like that.
Were you ever in a group with a girl group kind of thing? Like, did you lived in Syracuse, and then you played and you did what you could, and then you moved to Nashville?
I never lived in Nashville.
Why did it say you went from Nashville to Austin?
I blew by Nashville.
In your lie of a bio.
I blew by Nashville.
Okay, so
for the more eclectic and organic
Austin.
Austin, yes.
Okay, so maybe I should learn how to read.
Maybe
I just see city names and then I see them after it. So I
right.
assume
I had thought I would move to Nashville, but I don't know. I wasn't comfortable. I liked Austin a lot.
Did you go to college?
I went to a community college for a couple of years.
Okay. And that was up there in Syracuse?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, so during that time you were in a band that was I'm drawing a blank on the name. I'm sorry.
The Natives.
The Natives.
Mm-hmm.
How long were you with the Natives until you left?
No, I was in another band after that called Rockin' Bones. And that's really where I embraced the music more so. We played in New York a lot because we weren't very far from there at all. So we played New York City a lot. And actually in 1988, I believe it was, Rockin' Bones won the MTV Battle of the Bands for the East Coast.
Oh, really?
Yes.
In
Adam Curry was there.
Adam Curry. Basement tapes or...
I don't think, no, it was a. It was just some, we played this show at Darien Lake in Rochester, and I actually just had it transferred from VHS to DVD.
So you were on MTV
it.
when it was MTV?
I don't think they ever played it. I don't think they ever played it. It was just one of those things that they did, and they, you know, you went through all these different steps and stuff, and I think we ended up.
What kind of music was it? MTV music?
It was just rock and roll, kind of pop music. Yeah.
I mean,
it wasn't
when you say
punk
that,
music that anymore.
I know, but when you say like rock and roll,
see, I think rock and roll. I think the Rolling Stones.
So do I. But you're saying 1988, so it could be like, you know what I mean? Like something really terrible.
Yeah.
No offense.
It probably could. It was probably like
I was in a terrible band then.
I don't know. It's been so long since I heard those songs.
Really? You don't?
Well, I mean.
I mean, you guys must have had a tape.
Yeah.
You had a lot of records?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have them anymore. They were records?
They
LPs.
Were LPs.
Look at that.
Cassettes. And I made my first CD when I lived in New York. It was Penny Joe's Trailer Trash.
Okay. Then that's something you got going up there. And was that more of a country thing, obviously, with the
name?
It was
sort of like, I guess,
Americana?
Maybe like the Bottle Rockets or something like that. Very electric guitars, Americana kind of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. And my first solo record that I did with Warner Hodges in Nashville.
I like that guy. You introduced him to me.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, from the Scorchers.
Mm-hmm. So he produced your album.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you know him.
Well, I know him from seeing him with the Scorchers, and he actually had produced records for Rockin' Bones. He had come up to Syracuse, and we had made some records there.
And so what you guys were doing, would you say, at the time was in the vein of New Sincerity, which is what Americana was before? It was called Americana.
I don't know. It's such a large
whatever
umbrella.
Whatever it was that Alejandro did with those guys. Why am I drawing True Believers?
True. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Like Jason and the Scorchers, I feel like, were that kind of guys. And
yeah,
Will was that kind of guy
right,
then. Although
right.
He kind of sounded like the Cult.
I opened for
record.
Will when in Syracuse
in the
one time.
Back
uh-huh.
in the time?
Yep, he was just a little tyke.
Was he dressed all in leather?
Yep.
I introduced him to my aunt and uncle during that time, and I took him to my house in the middle of the night after one of his shows, and my uncle asked me the next morning if I had brought Michael Jackson into his bedroom in the middle of the night.
It's funny. Yeah.
So you guys were opening for touring bands
we opened for every Lone Justice,
like,
the Black Crowes.
That's all
the
New Sincerity. That's New Sincerity.
Okay,
City.
I never heard it called that.
That's what it was
yeah.
called then.
Yeah.
Aren't I right? I mean, I'm not arguing. I'm just
saying. No, I have no idea. I've never heard it called that, but I kind of like that better than Americana. I kind of want to throw up every time I hear that word now.
Well, Americana is like.
Can you take that out? So
no, that's the truth. I think anybody, even I could, I bet even Ryan Adams and Lucinda Williams don't even want to hear that word.
Yeah,
especially,
it's rock and roll.
They probably,
you know?
Especially, yeah, that's what
it's
the sad
just
thing
rock
is.
And roll.
The sad thing is at this point, it's just rock and roll. It's like Stones influenced rock and roll, like mm-hmm. good lyrics.
Like I like country music.
Yeah,
the best. When the Rolling Stones sing it.
Yeah.
<know? laughs>
Yeah. That's a cool thing. That's,
yeah.
you know, that's where I'm from.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just because I don't really know. Man, country is really terrible now.
It pretty much is.
It's very bad.
Yeah.
There's a guy named Luke Bryan. Have you checked him out?
I think I saw something. Is he kind of chubby?
No, he's in pretty good. Some of these guys are in good shape.
Uh-huh. I just saw a picture of something that somebody was promoting, and I was like, oh my God, he looks like Baby Huey.
Yeah.
With a cowboy hat.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So you're up in Syracuse. You're opening for bands, and you guys obviously probably you had your own headlining shows.
Oh sure, you had sure. At the Lost Horizon, I think records. You played there too, didn't you?
At the Lost Horizon
in Syracuse, yeah.
Maybe I did. What is that?
Yeah, it's a club. It's been there forever.
I don't know if I've ever been to Syracuse. Is Albany the capital?
No. Yes.
Okay. I've been there.
Yeah.
That's a good place too.
Yeah, okay, I mean, I played all over New York State. So
when you toured up there, did you used to tour the rest of the area? Like, did you go to Boston and
I have played in Boston. Yeah, I mean, it was like the throughway circuit. It was
right.
Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse, Albany, Utica, New York City.
Did you have a job?
I've always been a hairdresser.
Okay. Do you like that?
I wanted to be a hairdresser because I could be a little left of center, mm-hmm. and no one would really care. It was okay.
Right.
Yeah, and yeah. I didn't want to learn how to type. I still can't type. I didn't want to learn anything about computers. I just didn't care. And I figured, you know, I was going to be famous anyway, so it didn't matter. But now I wish I knew how to type.
You know, it's never too late. My grandpa taught himself how to type when he was in his 80s.
Yeah, no. Not going
to
happen.
I mean, like, taught himself how to type. Like, mm-hmm. he got up to, I don't know, 20 words a minute or something.
Right. But, you know, we played the throughway circuit. And, you know, there's a really great pocket of music in Syracuse. It's
like a fertile area.
Yeah. There's a lot of great music up there. And not really very many people venture out of there. There's a few people that have. Joey Bonamassa was from Syracuse.
Yeah.
Yeah. From Utica, I think. But there's the college, I guess, brings a lot of different kinds of people there. It was a really big blues scene. And, you know, I tried to do that, but I just, you know, it's not my thing. Like, I can do it.
Big Mama Penny Jim.
I can do it, but, you know, I don't.
Yeah.
Very often. But I guess really what it is, and it took me many, many years to actually figure out what my voice was, but I can do voice imitations really well.
Oh, really?
I can make different sounds and things, and, you know, so I can mimic things really well.
Really?
Right. Yes. And so... which can be a problem when you get older and you're trying to do something that you think is you and you're not really doing you. You don't know what you are being so young.
I know a guy that I worry about that for him.
Uh-huh. I can do some funny stuff.
Well, do you ever do you sing in a cover band or something?
Have I ever?
No, I know you have, but do you currently?
Well, I guess John Bush's band, we do some of his songs in there, but we do, you know, some Stones covers and stuff like that. But I'm not the lead singer in that band, so.
Right.
So, no.
Have you ever been in, like, a Skyrocket situation where you're out there in a band that's doing the weddings corporate revivals? And
yes, it was called Scarlett O'Hara, something like that. It'd
be cool if that, like, it was just songs from, like, the Civil War.
Yeah. No, it wasn't that. It might have even just been a different version.
Were you
a
lead singer? Or the...
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't play an instrument.
What kind of stuff did you guys do?
Oh, my God. You know, Greg Kinn. I don't know.
What happened to Greg Kinn?
I don't know.
I was following him online for a little while because I was going to ask him to be on my show because I figured, well, he's probably like at the point in his career where this would probably seem like a good idea. You know what I mean? And
well, I was actually very flattered that you asked me to do this because I, you know.
Right. But thank you. And I don't mean this is a bad thing, but I could see somebody like Greg Kinn, like, you know, in the time of Conspiracy.
Right.
Or Citizen Kinn.
Mm-hmm.
Or Contagious. He would, I love all of his phone albums. Uh-huh. So what do you think? Did you like him? What'd you sing? Oh, you sang the breakup song.
Yeah. Yeah.
We used to do Our Love's in Jeopardy and Skyrocket, but nobody liked it. No, I mean, not us, but the people, they don't care.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
I know. I thought it was a big song back in its time. It even had a Weird Al.
I think we did, ready. Like, what else did we do? Loverboy, probably.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
I'm singing Loverboy. I have to sing it in front of Ben Harper.
Oh, my.
On Sunday. I have to sing The Kid Is Hot Tonight.
Are you embarrassed?
Yeah. I've had to do a lot of things that are pretty shitty in front of
some
pretty
cool
people.
I'm sure you got paid well, though.
I think so. One time,
get paid.
We were doing that song of one of those talk box songs by
Peter Frampton.
Mm-hmm. And I was doing the talk box thing. Yeah. And so I'm doing it one time, my eyes are closed, and I open it up, and David is standing there, and he's like with another bro of ours, and he's just like pointing at me and like totally laughing, like holding his stomach.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, it's embarrassing. In front of your friends, like somebody, oh, I had to do that Michael Jackson dance, me and Trish did, and we looked over to the side, and Grissom was standing there like, we had this look of just like, what happened to you guys? His face. But you know what? I don't think there's anything... I don't think there's anything bad about doing it. We go out to make a living and play songs.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I would love to be in playing music full time, but, you know, I'm a hairdresser.
I think that's a fun, you know, I have another friend that's a hairdresser. Sean, did you ever meet Sean Mullins? Great guy. Not the guy, that singer-songwriter, but the dude that used to play with me.
I don't.
For a long time.
I don't know. Sounds familiar.
Anyway. Okay, so back to Syracuse.
Then
you ran your course in Syracuse, natives.
It was in a folk group called the Mud Puppies. Oh. It was just a duo, and we put out a cassette, and with the bass player who used to play with me in Rockin' Bones, he and I started this duo, and he played acoustic guitar, and I sang and played harmonica a little bit, but that's where I started doing more sort of country kind of stuff,
right? Because it was more stripped down.
Yeah, I guess so. And I wrote some of the songs that actually that I did in Penny Joe's Trailer Trash were actually band versions of the Mud Puppy songs. Yeah, and Joel and I, man, we just wrote and sang together so well. It was awesome, and I've never really had that sort of kinship here, back to the Greg Kinn puns.
Oh, yeah. Kinship. I don't think that was one of them. He needs to put out
been.
A new record.
Yeah, he needs to, yeah. With his kid.
You think maybe he stopped, putting out records because he ran out of puns?
I don't know. I bet
No, guys, I'm all out of kin things to say. Kinfolk.
Right.
You thought about moving somewhere. You thought about Nashville, and you thought about Austin. I'm sure you thought about L.A. Why didn't you move to New York?
Because it just wasn't. I my sister lived in New York, and I spent a lot of time down there. It was the time when you could hop on People's Express and pay $34 for a one-way trip to New York, and you actually paid on the plane. You know, it took like 34 minutes to get there or something like that. And so I spent a lot of time there, and it just wasn't for me. New York City just wasn't.
It's a lot of work.
To dig in the dirt. You know, I like every time if I did drive, somebody would break into my car. And then
Time out. For the listener, she's wearing an I Love New York t-shirt. Okay, go ahead.
And then I'd start leaving my car unlocked, to thinking at least they wouldn't break the window.
Right.
They break the fucking window anyways, you know, it just didn't. And so I don't know. It was just never really comfortable. I love to visit. I love to go. My sister lived right around the corner from the Dakota, you know, and it was such a great, great neighborhood. And I really liked it, but I just didn't want to live there. I like to dig in the dirt.
I understand. Yeah. So Nashville was a little too slick.
Well, I was all ready to go to Nashville, and I don't know. Something just was like, I don't think this is for me. I really don't. And I had spent many years coming to Austin before I moved here. I knew where I wanted to live. I had friends here.
Who did you have any friends like we know? Like rock dudes?
Well, I became friends with Rick Broussard.
I don't think I've ever met him.
Hamill. Ed Hamill.
Yeah.
He's from Hamill on Trial. Though. Uh-huh. Yeah, he was here. Craig Marshall was here.
Love Craig.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's also from Syracuse.
Yeah, he's all from up there. So, you know, it was just, I feel more at home here in Austin than I ever did in Syracuse.
Yeah. Do you remember Ed Hamill before he was aggro? He was like all kind of hippy-dippy.
Well, he was in a group called The Works.
What was that?
And they were sort of like an R&B kind of Jay Gilesy sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, because he lived here, and I remember seeing he used to sing this song about in Austin, and it was like this real long song about how everything was awesome in Austin. And he was wearing like a tie-dyed shirt, like this thing, and then like
that doesn't sound like him at all.
It was him. It was Hamill on Trial, and then all of a sudden, he was like in black jacket and like.
See, I always remember him like that because I remember I was at his first gig.
Maybe he thought he had to do that. No, this was on Access TV. So maybe he just like one day, like he went with like a bandana on his head and a thing and shorts and sang this weird song. But I just saw it 1,000 times. So I just assumed he was this weird hippy dippy guy.
Oh, yeah. That's weird.
It was weird.
That sounds more like Todd Wolfson than.
He donned the Wolfson attire.
Interesting. Yeah. I'm going to have to ask him.
Ask him.
Yeah, he was the best man at my first wedding.
I was scared of him. Oh, you got married once? Was that in Syracuse? You leaving that out on purpose? Was he a player, a jammer?
No. He was the best man at my first wedding.
No, but who was the person
that he played piano. He was a keyboard player. His name's George Rossi. And he lived in New Orleans for a little while and played with Cyril Neville.
Oh, wow.
He still plays music, I think. I don't know.
You don't keep
We up. Don't talk.
That's important in a first marriage divorce.
Yeah.
to keep up that.
Yeah.
Silence. Okay, so that was in Syracuse. When you moved here, you were free and easy, single.
Yes.
Free and easy. You were just single.
I've never charged.
No. She's free. So you came here and so you feel like since you've been here, well, I mean, you had an incredible connection with Ron Flint. You guys have made 3 records together. That's a lot.
Right. But I mean, but Ron is like a mentor to me. He is my friend and he's my pal, but we don't just like get together and sit down and write songs.
Right.
You know, he helps me sort of flush out what I've already started or what I bring to him.
Right.
Yeah.
So are you always looking for, hey, I'd like to find some collaborators?
Well, actually, you know, now that you say that, I just had a friend visit from San Francisco and she was a blues singer and she was on this small little label, Blue Wave Records from up there. Kim Simmons, do you remember Kim Simmons? Savoy Brown, blah blah blah.
What was Savoy Brown?
It was a blues group, blues
so
act.
What did they sang a song?
I don't know. But anyways, she left and moved to San Francisco and really hasn't been playing music. And she was sort of cast into a mold of being a big, loud, blues in your face sort of singer and. They were trying to make her into something that she wasn't at all. And, so she sort of walked away from that and has spent the last, gosh, I don't know how many years, 10, 15 years writing songs and learning how to play guitar herself. And she came here to visit and she was playing me some of her songs and we just sort of started. You know, I gave her some suggestions and, you know, we were talking before about, you know, corny words and stuff. I said, oh, you can't, you don't say that, you know. Yeah. And just kind of giving her some encouragement to try to, you know, stop yelling at me. You don't need to yell at me.
Yeah.
You know, tell me a story. Whisper to me. Tell me softly.
Yeah.
And so she started, and it was like a whole new world for her to have somebody, instead of telling her what to do, to encourage her and kind of let her find her own way. I mean, that's really all we did, was hang around and play songs. And so we finished a couple of songs, and then we went to John Bush's studio and we recorded them. So she was like, oh my God, you're going to produce my next record. So that's my... going to be a project that I'm going to get to do. She's going to come here and I'm going to record a record.
That's cool as shit.
I'm pretty excited about it. I am.
Yeah. And John, you're going to do it at John's?
I'm not sure where we're going to do it. That's where we did the, we just kind of, I was like, John Bush, can we come over and sing some songs?
Yeah.
and it was neat because he played some drums on some stuff and we had a blast. And that to me made me long and yearn to have somebody to do that with.
Yeah. You know, here's something that I've noticed when I'm producing people. I will say things that are my favorite things that I heard from everyone that I worked with.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'll literally even direct, like, steal direct quotes.
Uh-huh, right. Yeah. Right.
Do you do that? You find yourself sounding like Ron Flint sometimes?
Well, no, but he, maybe.
Is that,
but
you,
that's
you
the kind of...
You can say something and be like, oh, I remember... Oh,
that's
yeah.
the kind of, you know... That's how I would love to encourage somebody and inspire somebody, is in that very gentle way.
Yeah.
There's no reason to, you know.
Have you ever worked with one of those kind of guys?
I have.
I'm trying to think if I did. I don't think so.
I have.
What was that like? What was it, one of those, who was, well, it someone famous? Can you say his name?
No.
For the listeners?
No.
Come
no.
on, man. They
no,
want some.
I can't.
I can't. Okay. No, how did I get here? Exclusives for Penny Joe Pulis. Okay, so this anonymous person, producer.
What they did was, yeah, we were making a single, so you know it's a long time ago.
Yeah.
And they took this song that we had, and he came in and he had changed it all around.
Oh.
And I was like, we can't do that. And it's what? You know, it's really cool. I'm like, that's Kids in America. That's Kim Wilde. Da 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 da. You know, yeah, can't do yeah, that. Yeah. No, you know. And oh boy, was he pissed. So, you know.
Who won?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you win? Did you destroy everything and the song never came out, or did
no,
you get it your
no,
way?
No, we didn't. We never okay. recorded it. We recorded it a different way. But it's that... and it's silly. I think there's like, God, there's like 22 guitar tracks on this song or something silly like that. Just you know, just totally overproduced.
You did it in,
more
on tape?
Than, yeah, it was oh, analog. Wow. More than like a wall of sound. It was ridiculous.
Ah, it's cool though. What's going on out there?
I don't know.
I like that though.
It's a wagon.
Oh.
There's some beautiful woman that walked through the door though.
I come in all the time.
Oh.
Did you bring my groceries?
Yeah.
Thank you.
You don't have to buy your own groceries. I hate you.
I do. I just thought that sounded funny. So where are you at? Where are you at now? Where's Penny Joe Pulis at?
Well, when Warner was here, he came. My husband Jason Swedberg and myself, we have house concerts.
Yes.
For people that are passing through town that need a gig
place
somewhere that
yeah.
they can actually make some money.
Yeah.
It's usually a you know, a solo artist or whatever.
Quick.
So
can I quickly go on this? We'll come back to Warner.
Okay.
And where you're at. House concerts, do you, obviously, if you're hosting them, you must like them. I mean, have you played a lot? Is that how you got, have you played house concerts?
I have played some, and some of them are better than others. Sometimes it gets a little creepy and weird.
It's so weird.
Yeah. Sometimes it can get a little creepy and weird, but I have not had any sort of strange, weird experiences like others that have told me what has happened to them. I've always had either my husband with me or, you know, some guys
that I'm playing
with or whatever. And we don't stay there. Like, I guess sometimes they think that you're supposed to stay there.
Oh, God, yeah, that's the weirdest part
right.
about it.
And then they want to play their songs for you. Because they're usually
had that yet.
Yeah.
Boy, that
so,
would be terrible.
Yeah, and so then you know, you're staying at these people's houses, and you know, so you don't want to be rude or anything or vomit.
Yeah.
And so, but I have never every house concert that I've ever done has been fabulous.
That's good.
I've never had a problem. And I house concerts at our place are a little bit different. Like, it's not, you're not just sitting there listening, not talking or anything. It's still about, you know, interaction and having fun. It's supposed to be fun. You know, you're not supposed to, I don't think it's, you're supposed to sit there with your butt on your hands and, you know, not talk and not, you know, comment or whatever. That makes me uncomfortable, being in a room that, you know, you're not supposed to talk.
Right.
Or yeah, there's a big sign that says silence.
Oh, I play at that place.
I usually make them close the curtains.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, it makes me uncomfortable.
I can understand.
But
I
love that
place. I have
a
lot of friends. I have a lot of friends. They sponsor the show, but I have a lot of friends that go like, I
everyone there
place
is so nice.
Because I think that that sign is offensive. And I'm like, well, I mean, I understand, like, oh, just cover it up. But, like, also, like, well, don't you want people to be quiet when you're playing your solo acoustic set?
Yes, but I think that if somebody's being, if somebody's being a jerk, I would not have any problem saying, are you going to heckle me all night?
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
I will take you out back and kick your ass.
And they, you can, there's a nice back.
Right. And actually, one time at the place that we're talking about that has that sign, we were listening at Strange Brew.
We were listening
to somebody, and I think it was John Hyatt's daughter was playing, and this woman was sitting there, and she was kind of drunk, and she was obviously on some sort of like eHarmony date or something like that, and she was kind of drunk, and her phone rings, and she's talking on the phone, and I went up to her, I was like,
this is yeah, this is
get. Get
this
out
is
of
not
here.
Gonna happen. Yeah.
This is, she's in the front row. Yeah. You know, get out of here. This is ridiculous. And afterwards, Casey came up and gave me the high five. She goes, I was going to get her. She's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
And I was just like, God, it's hard enough to do this as it is. Don't sit there and talk on your freaking phone.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, but to me, people should just have enough sense to be quiet and pay attention, or if they want to have a conversation, go somewhere else. I find it kind of, you know, it's like, I don't, do people always stop at stop signs? No. You know, are
That's
they going to, you know, it's,
yeah. Are they going to shut up when
right,
they see
you just need to obey the rules or pay attention and, you know, be a good human. That's really,
yeah. I think though that they have done a really, I think that like, I think that what they're trying to do is train the people that come there for the first couple of years so that when you go there,
you know that you're not going to go
like
with a group
you
of your girlfriends. And, yeah.
When you go to the Cactus, when you walk in, you might have never been there before, but when you walk in and someone's playing, you know you got to shut the fuck up.
Right, like, right, right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I don't like playing gigs there when I have gas because I'm scared people are going to be able to hear it.
Well,
that's
sure
how
they
quiet
can
that fucking
it.
Place
Jesus.
Is.
Jesus, I thought, do you have it now?
No.
God, no.
So
I'm sorry, we're all over the place here with this.
Yeah, that's what this show's
sorry.
About.
Sorry.
Okay, so let's go back. You said you hosted a house concert for Warner.
Yeah.
That's where we were going.
Oh, that's because you were asking me where I'm going.
Yeah, where are you doing? And you're producing, and you hosted Warner, and then you were going to say something.
So we went into the studio and recorded a song. Before
really?
He got here, John Bush and Ron and I went in and laid down tracks, and then Warner came in and did some guitar stuff. So I don't know. Everyone,
you're in really good company, man. It's just like not a lot of people going to record with guys that good.
Well,
that's
I'm
like
very
three
lucky.
Three really good guys.
I'm very lucky. Very, very, very lucky.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I've sang on some of Ron's records. I've, you know, sang on John Bush's record. And
you sing with the Greasy Wheels, too.
I sing with the Greasy Wheels.
Do you have fun? That seems like a really fun band.
It is so much fun.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
John said he has a really good time in it, too.
Well, I call John my evil twin. Because when we travel together, we hang pretty tight. And it's just a blast. You know, everybody's allowed to be who they are. And everybody loves the music that we're doing. You know, Cleve's a great, great writer.
Yeah.
And a totally different. I'm kind of a Moon and the Spoon writer, whereas Cleve writes about, you know, heavy shit.
Yeah, that's...
I just don't have it in me.
And what's the story with that band? They were around early on in the 70s?
They were the original house band of the Armadillo headquarters, supposedly. well, I mean, they are. I mean, they're on every single poster ever. But, I mean...
I just know once you get into the house band of the Armadillo, I've talked to at least 10 people.
Right, exactly. And they probably were all in the Greasy Wheels, because when we got inducted into the Hall of Fame last year, I think it was, there was, I think, 40 of us on stage that had all been in the band at one point. You know?
And they only made one album in the
No. They made, I think they made three.
Back in the
London
70s.
Records, yeah.
Right, they were they were like the first band signed out of Austin or something.
And then they stopped playing for about 25 years. And in 2000, they did a record with Mambo. And they needed a backup singer. And Cleve and Mary were the first people I met when I came to Austin the first time. I had gotten from this guy in Syracuse, the guy that owned that record label, Blue Wave, Greg Spencer, gave me the industry guide.
And he kept saying, you
got to get out of here. You got to go to Austin, you know. And so I was listening to Lou Ann Barton at the time and Chris Duarte, and Cleve managed them at the time, Pet Sharks.
That's how I know his name. Okay.
And so... I called him up and we started talking and went over to his house. And we started, his family is from upstate New York originally. So we had that compadre sort of thing. Yeah. It was, and then he and Mary took me around. They brought me to Antone's when it was up on Guadalupe.
Yeah.
And showed me around. I saw Chris Duarte play, and then I can't remember who the other person was, but Melford got up to sing. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, if he sings Love and Happiness or Let's Stay Together, I am moving here. And of course he did.
He did.
But it was like magic. Everything just was so much fun. And I loved being part of sort of like the Cooks tour kind of. They brought me to all these really cool places and introduced me to wonderful people. And Cleve had actually brought me down here to play South by Southwest one time at the old Antone's with the Mud Puppies, the duo thing that I did.
And, oh, yeah.
You know, so it's just, I don't know. I got it in my blood.
Yeah, you're a singer.
I am.
You're a great singer.
Thank you.
I had a great time singing with you.
I wish we could have played more songs. I would love to
I thought we were going to do it again. Was that supposed to be at your house?
Yeah, that we were going to do it because our gig got canceled for some reason or whatever. But you should do it again. It was really fun. That's a great band, huh?
Yeah, it's an awesome band.
Yeah.
It's a really awesome band. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm very happy for you. I love listening to that stuff. I love that song you did with Jimmy LaFave, too. You guys sang really well together.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, yeah, you know, when you say that stuff about not having, like, a collaborative team there that you have to do that, a lot of times that keeps you out of the running of getting to play with all these people. You know what I mean? Like, you got to have Ian McLaughlin. If you had a keyboard player and you had a band, you wouldn't have had Ian McLaughlin on your record because your keyboard player would have been totally bummed out that you brought a dude from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in the
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
in some ways...
Making records is different. Right. I'm saying records instead of CDs or MP3s or whatever. But making records for me is very, I just mean that it's very different.
Right.
I don't necessarily want to, I kind of like the idea of being able to be sort of a free agent and play with whoever you want to bring on now. You know, it's like, okay, I'm kind of sick of you now. I'm going to have another guitar player.
Yeah.
Time for the C team. And sometimes you just, if someone fills in, you end up not really knowing them, but it ends up being a really cool connection.
Yeah.
And I think that for me, it's really helped me grow and helped me be better. And I can be a band leader now where I never used to be able to do that.
People are asking you to produce their records.
I'm really honored to do that. So that's very exciting for me. But of course, you know, I'm not going to engineer it.
No.
But I just, you know, that's where I would like to go. I'd still want to record and still make songs. I don't really play very much on my own anymore. It's usually a project, or whether it's The Wheels or John Bush, right, or somebody wants me to sing something with them. I do a lot of studio work with Ron or John Bush,
uh-huh,
because I just, you know.
Well, you have it.
I just,
I mean,
hear
like,
it.
It's, yeah, like, we didn't practice, and right, we just got on stage and sang, and it was like we've been singing together for years.
Yeah,
you have an amazing talent like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people, not everyone has that, especially even lead singers have a hard time. I have a hard time being a great backup singer because I think sometimes there's so much.
It's a different
me
approach.
Coming at you. It's
you
it's
have
not
to
cool
back away from the microphone.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. It's hard. It's something that's definitely learned.
Yeah, definitely.
And you know, I've had to learn too.
Yeah.
And I sing a lot with Lissa Hattersley from The Wheels, and it's like white on rice. You know, I mean, we can like work around each other so well, and but it is really nice when you can just walk up there, like with you and I, and
yeah,
sing like that. That was really fun.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it.
Well, I enjoyed it. I love the record, Through the Glass. I hope people can find it at your website, pennyjoepullis.com.
Actually, Reverb Nation or CD Baby. My whole website thing is not really up to date.
Oh, it's not? What about Facebook? Do you keep that going?
Yes,
you have a Facebook?
I do. But you can get CD Baby is usually the best place. Or if you're here in town, you know, Waterloo Records for
and
sure.
And from the CD Baby, it goes on iTunes?
Yes.
So people
make way more money from iTunes than actually records.
Well,
because
it's a lot easier.
Sold.
Right now,
yeah,
if someone's listening in the underwear, they just need to click on a thing and they'll be in Penny Joe Polis land within seconds.
Right. It's awesome. Yeah. So I'm planning on doing some. I'm
some
planning
more?
On getting out of the box again.
All right.
Yeah. So.
And
I'm looking forward to it.
I love. I can't let this go without saying I love Jason, your husband, who's been my friend since I was like 10 or 11.
I know. He loves you too.
I know. It's a love thing. I'm glad that you guys make each other happy.
It's been a long time.
It has been a long time.
Yeah.
It's been a really long time.
We're going on 15 years,
yeah,
I think.
Most of the time that you've lived here.
Yes.
Wow. Now,
if you would have ever told me I was going to get married again, I would have laughed in your face.
Well, you know, if you wouldn't have married him, I would have.
I bet. I've seen you guys make out before.
There went my sponsors. Well, Penny Joe, is there anything I'm missing?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'll be doing this when
Look
I'm an
up.
Old lady.
Yeah, you can come back again.
I hope so.
All right.
I'm sorry we got all sort of, you know.
What?
You do want to hear the story about the African.
I do.
Yeah,
I hate it when it goes into the Thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Born to Sing, Penny Joe Polis. Fantastic, man. I really enjoyed talking to her. I had a great time hanging out. It was weird. My friend Jason was kind of lingering behind me the whole time, so that was weird. But but good. And not in a bad way. And he left with some of my guitars. Hey, listen, don't forget, if you're around tonight, the day that this comes out, and you're in Austin, you can see Penny Joe tonight, October 17th. She's playing solo at Freddy's at 7:30, and then she'll be singing with the Greasy Wheels at Evangeline's at 10 p.m. That's how they do it sometimes in Austin. You double up on your gigs, all right? I got no gigs tonight. What am I going to do? Maybe I'll go check out Penny Joe Polis. All right, you guys, thank you so much for listening. Penny Joe, thank you for coming by. Jason, thanks for coming by. Thanks for taking my guitar. You guys, thank you for listening. Do not forget, get out there and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or get on our Stitcher. If you're on Stitcher, you can add us to your playlist and you will get a new episode every Friday and every Tuesday, or every Tuesday and every Friday, however you like to look at it. You can like our Facebook page. You can follow me on Twitter and on Instagram. I'm at Johnny Gowdy. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Thank you to Penny Joe for coming by. All right? Thank you. All right, let's hear some more Penny Joe Polis. Let's get down.
Rub my eyes, start a new day, try to find a different way to make it my way. Close the door, look to the sky, the rainy city left me dry. I hit the highway, I needed a show.